Hi, this is Eddie Floyd with 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio, right here in all of northern Nevada, and soon the entire state of Nevada, thanks to Nevada Matters Broadcasting. You matter to us just like Nevada matters to us all. I'm pretty excited right now because, once again, we have Marty Allen Hill, and we have her on the line with John Keel, all the way from New York City. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Eddie.
We're having fun here. It's sunny in New York today.
If you really want to have fun, I suggest both of you jump in the plane and come to Nevada, okay?
We can't wait.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. Listen, we've had these segments on your just intriguing work that you're involved in right now, and we're going to kind of wrap up with a piece of music that we haven't heard yet, and I'm going to wait a little bit later in this interview for whenever you and John decide to put that in. But one of the things, Marty, that really impressed me was, seems like, you know, every story starts, you know, with an inciting incident. Now, how about your story?
Well, the story actually begins prehistory, the story of ice crystals, the story of the Big Bang, your typical Star Wars, Star Trek journey back into time. But I don't begin the story there in the current day story. I basically begin now and show you this family dynasty and their workings and their fight, their conflict over this invention. And the premature release of the invention is what brings you back into the prehistory time of the story, and most importantly, how I take you through different centuries and stop at certain stop points to get you the feeling of the flow of the mechanism of the family. Because I'm dealing with music, and music as a totally, as a force, just like the force in Star Wars, I have the challenge of getting an audience to understand that music has a power within us that becomes something on the page and becomes something else when it becomes sound in an auditorium. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's basically as if to say the whole universe is a grand auditorium.
You know, I've got to share with you, Marty, it makes more sense to yours truly than you can possibly imagine. I happen to be one, and your if you will, your work actually reaffirmed my belief that music can not only tell a story, but music has its own language. Music can heal. Music can change our attitude at any given time, and that's what makes your particular story so intriguing. But for the listeners right now, you know, I remember when you mentioned ice crystals and the dawn of prehistory, if you would explain that just in a little more detail to the listeners.
Absolutely. A lot of the story is about reading and writing and how we convey thought and how we convey musical thought. One of the challenges that preoccupied me was the amount of knowledge that most people have to work towards to gain control over the idea of a musical score. So what I did here was to form a kind of codified information for my characters, something they can archive over time, and then the audience, the reader, the user comes into the story and begins to unfold this language and what it means not only to the characters, but to each one of us individually. So it has a musical alphabet, so to speak, that becomes dimensionally understood, that has an architecture to it. The ice crystals are a wonderful way of bringing in science, and we get into the periodic table. We get into all forms of science in terms of the musical representation having a force of its own, and an adaptable force of its own. This was a very big challenge. The way I go about it is to basically give my characters a vocabulary and a language. And one can get on my website and open the first book and see the glossary, just the way there is a glossary to many big books that are generated in time, and get a feel for the characters and how they navigate through time and this language and begin to have control and power over it. It's not intimidating. It's actually quite fun. The section is called Meet the Melody Makers, and it's on my website.
Well, you know, let's do this for some listeners who may have just tuned in. to Nevada Matters, 99.1 FM Talk right here on Fox News Radio. Tell the listeners how they can go to your website.
Well, the basic website is Mardi-Ellen.com. So it's MARDI-ELLEN.com. And then there is also an interactive site and also a blog site, which is MEND, M-E-N-D, Universe, Buzz.wordpress.com. So there are a number of sites and ways to access the work. And also we have a new outlet on Kickstarter.com to actually program the music bites.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. I was doing a little, if you will, surfing the web myself, and I saw that Kickstarter. So if you don't mind, would you be kind enough to explain what that's all about?
Well, Kickstarter has a program which you need to enter at a certain point in a project to show that the project is fairly well advanced and has a pretty high success rate of happening. And we are basically really at the end stages of this work so that it can become usable and applicable to other technologies out in the world, especially mobile technologies. On the Kickstarter site, there is a good description of how the music actually acts as a glue to the scenes in the story and begins to build this musical architecture and universe. And it is a really important segment to the next step, which would be the programming of an iPhone, an iPad, an ebook, a Kindle, not to name specific brands, but any mobile technology that's out and about. This musical information, what's so wonderful about creating a world like this, is that it has so much adaptability in it for forecasting other technologies and use there.
Well, you know, Marty, and if you don't mind, John, one of the things that impressed me the most, I've been interviewing authors for more years than I want to admit here on Fox News Radio, but one of the things that I kept getting feedback, you always hear, oh, very interesting. You always hear intriguing. You always hear exciting. You hear buzzword. But, you know, one of the words that kept coming back to me over and over again from those who had been involved in Marty's work, John, was just simply the word fun. In other words, her work seems to be fun for a lot of people who get involved in it.
Definitely, Eddie. The one thing Marty hasn't said out loud, at least in this part of the interview, but we don't mean to hold it back, is this story is meant to be a manual for your own life. And Marty's trying to create this giant metaphor that as you learn about the characters and you learn about the struggles and the dimensions and the things that are right and the things that are wrong, all of this is a metaphor for your own life. Who is your matriarch? Almost in this sort of Jungian psychological way. You know, where do you? What's your personal history? Where do your, in a way, what's the chemistry of your ice crystals that are making you you? So there's nothing more fun than exploring yourself. And when someone gives you a tool to start understanding yourself in some sort of depth. And this is what Marty's thing's all about. I got involved with Marty as a musician and as a computer programmer because I'm really interested in that fun journey of what is this marriage between this age-old tradition of music and that energy that's so human and so mystical that now has to find a home in the computer industry or this computerized layer of civilization that we're now finding ourselves in. I'm fascinated by how we take this age-old tradition and map it into the computer world. And what is that going to look like? What is that going to feel like? What are the new toys that are going to come out of that? And Marty's MEND device, which is this one little component of her story, MEN stands for musical encode decode. So it's this kind of secret decoder ring, if you will, that works, that's running through the whole story. And I got involved. I said, Marty, I want to be the guy that programs that and brings it off the screen and puts it in Toys R Us. So after someone has seen the movie and has seen how to think about their lives, they can actually go down to Toys R Us and buy this device and quote, to use your words, have fun with it.
Exactly.
I'd like to add, Eddie, if I could add just one piece to that, and what John had to say is something I could never say, in the sense that this is, by now, as the author, you know, it's leaving me, as it's supposed to be doing. After all of these years, I mean to turn this over to an audience that I want to travel with me. And one of the messages in the story itself, Eddie, is that there is, just the way you are a host in a radio show and have a following and speak to people and they convey the image of you without ever seeing you, your voice conveys an image, that idea of the audience traveling with the story and each one of us is a really big part of how this story works. The other part of it is that I read people's commentary all the time online in the social networking scheme, and people are really, sometimes they'll actually say they're bored. And I think to myself, why are they bored? And I think one of the issues is people are so afraid, of course, to step out of their comfort zones. This story just absolutely makes you jump out of your comfort zone and take some risk. And you are actually learning risk assessment with each one of the characters as they push the boundaries of their own information knowledge. This is something that I think it's a big step that's missed by many social media outlets, meaning that we just put information and new technology in front of people and kids all the time and say, okay, go for it. But there's no window step-up program for actually understanding the risk for letting go of the prior knowledge and exchanging that for new information and new ways of behaving. There's a big risk idea in terms of getting into the story and becoming part of this murder investigation, and how people automatically find themselves in a much bigger tale than they ever wished to be embroiled in. That was actually part of my quest.
Well, you know, Marty, you or John can answer this, and I truly don't care who, because one of the things that I've noticed over the many years of interviewing authors is the fact that, you know, I can, from time to time, and more often than not, I can say, well, your particular book is geared to the college set. Your particular book is geared to children or parents of young children, et cetera. Or your particular is actually, you know, geared towards the baby boomers. Marty, it seems as if to me, okay, I can't pinpoint it. Anybody able to read and follow seems as if your work is going to be for them.
Well, this is a problem in a sense of, I've had many people come to me, and I'm dealing with two particular book agents right now who John knows we've had many a discussion, who one of them, in fact, I mean, to be absolutely blunt, wants me to rewrite this opening soliloquy so that it rockets the story in a much faster pace. And I've sort of held on to my reins in this opening because of the infiltration of the music in the rooms, the hotel rooms, and how they represent actual musical MIDI rooms and radio stations. That's a very difficult point to get across to people who want to stick this in a genre. I would say this is certainly for the 15 to 40-year-old range, but it also jumps ahead to a much older audience. And then, of course, there's a child story in it, which can be adapted in a moment. I've basically stopped it from happening only because I wanted the book number one to come out first, which was the idea of that is on actually Kickstarter, which is there's no way to really get into this story, Eddie, without fundamentally understanding the music as the glue to connecting the generations. So this answers exactly to what you just brought up, which is how these generations are connected and which generation is leading. That, in a way, I left that answer to my audience. Maybe that's...
Well, I think you're going to have a very vast audience, and perhaps that's because it, no matter what age we are, it seems to be a child in all of us, you know? And this is so intriguing, so unbelievable to the people who have gotten involved, who've come back to me and said, get her back on again, you know, see if she'll come back on and explain some more. John, if we're queued up, as I read about her work, there seemed to be a missing piece. There is a missing piece we were not able to play in the last segment. We ran out of time. Is that queued up for my listeners?
It is, more or less.
You explain it, and then anytime you want, just simply run it.
Okay, we'll try to keep this at a minimum in terms of the words. I want to set the stage. This is a really important scene, Eddie. It's a radio scene. It's a scene that takes place in one of the backstory books, but it's what connects the story going forward and backwards. And I would love to leave my listeners with this and for them to ask me any questions from it, because it's the most poignant scene in terms of my own background. Excuse me. The scene is where two young children have been kidnapped. It's actually the protagonist in her early life, and her brother. And they are the ones who come back in the prequel book and basically find this child in Paris. That's where the story opens in our present day. But this goes back to the protagonist's life as a child and her brother and how they've been kidnapped and they're in this tiny apartment in New York City. And they are actually watching out the window. They're watching the Aurora Borealis and they're trying to comfort themselves. And on the radio comes on this voice. Well, it's actually a vocal performance given by their mother in another state. So basically, they're listening to a performance on the radio. They don't know anything about performances. They're young children who've been kidnapped. They're in this apartment, this dark apartment by themselves. But the voice of the mother is so powerful that they think that the voice is singing only to them. So this is like a dream sequence that begins to guide both the protagonist and her brother forward into their lives and leaves them with this, again, this musical codified language that has to do with the town genome from where they're from. And as they listen to this performance, they believe that she's singing to them, just the way when we listen on the radio, we believe that the message that's out there to a big audience, the whole universe, is for each one of us independently. And they begin to build the actual coordinates of the town and the burden they've been left with, because there's a whole backstory to this kidnapping, in this apartment. So I'm actually showing you how, as children, they're the sheer sound of the voice of this matriarch is encoding in them the forward movement of their lives and how they bring their home with them.
Looking forward to it. Let listeners, if you're ready, John, let's hear it.
Thank you.
can say, absolutely beautiful. John, you do such great work there. Marty, you are so talented. It is amazing to me. You know, I know we've said that this could indeed be a final interview, but I don't see that at all. I think if I check my ice crystals, we'll be doing this again within a week or two.
I would like to say one more thing, Eddie.
Please.
Really important for all of those people out there thinking, well, this music is not quite hip enough, it's a little dated, it's about the memory of the protagonist, which is all true. One of the wonderful things about this Kickstarter program and why I put it on there right now is and as John knows, I want to take a trip back to Paris where I created the poem, you know, and the message that's hidden. It's actually, as you're beginning to realize, a very formulaic and simple story of how the message just keeps growing and growing and growing. Till the cat is let out of the bag prematurely, and then the audience has to figure out what to do with it. But one of the things I really want to express to my audience and to everyone who can hear this is that we are going to be arranging this so that people will be able to bring in rap artists, rock artists, all kinds of musical variations on these themes. These are basically the themes that drive the story forward, the characters forward, but it is certainly not the end all of how this music will be heard. So I hope that I can leave my listeners with that message. This is something that will have layers and layers of other information built upon it.
Wow. I'm telling you, I want to wish you both well. I want to thank you for the wonderful interviews. And John, Marty, I look forward to doing another one because I just feel it. I can sense it in the audience. I can see it on the emails, people coming in. You know, I guarantee you we're going to be doing another one right here on 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News in Northern Nevada, soon to be in the entire state of Nevada. Marty, John, you matter to us just like Nevada matters to us all.
Thank you, Eddie.
Well, thanks, Eddie. It's been a pleasure.
It is our pleasure, and we look forward to the next trip. Listeners, stay tuned. Right, coming up right next, we'll be talking to our new governor, Brian Sandoval.